Bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning, Lord, and help us to apply it into our lives, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. You know a song is more than likely a hymn, an oldie, and a goodie when you look at the little copyright number, and it only has four digits. So it's song 1431, and songs that have just come out in the last year or two already have seven digits of copyright numbers. So you know a song has been around for a while like that. That particular hymn, I don't know if I should say this, but so one of the things that I liked to do was always put that hymn into the service when we lived in Minnesota. And I would put it in on the Sunday that was the first Sunday of deer season. So we sang that for all of our hunter friends that were out in the wild doing their thing. That'll come up in our psalm in just a little bit. We started this last week, a couple weeks before Easter. We had Palm Sunday is coming up at the very end of this month on March 29th. So we've got this week and next week before Palm Sunday, and we started looking at a few of the different words that the Bible uses for worship. And especially for the Hebrew people, they had all sorts of different ways to describe the types of worship that they would offer to God. And that's something that God was working with them with, developing them into a people that developed a rhythm of worship as life. I said that last week, that that's really how God created us to be, is people whose whole lives are lived in worship. That everything that we do and think and breathe has an element of worship to it, whether we're aware of it or not. And last week, we looked at the Hebrew word halal, which is the root for hallelujah, or what we even now say in English, alleluia. And it had all that range of meanings. And when we read it in the Bible and we see praise the Lord, sometimes praise is this word. That's the word kind of behind the word. Those of you that like etymology and looking at words and what's behind them. So it had all those different things. And halal was that kind of praise that's more outward joy, more exuberant, saying, lifting your arms and saying hallelujah, not caring what anyone thinks or wondering, are people watching me? So that's kind of that outward expressive kind of praise. And next week we're going to look at a different word, and I won't say what that is quite yet, but it's going to help connect to the image of Jesus on the cross and seeing that very act of Jesus as an act of worship. Today's word is a word that, if I had to describe it, it's a word related to health. And not necessarily the health that we might think of at first, like my knees hurt or don't. Not so much physical health, but a health that is deeper, a deeper enduring health within the depths of our soul. It's a form of praise that shows up in different psalms, and we'll look at one of them in particular. Now, you know, like when you go to the doctor, there's all sorts of different indicators of health. I know a couple months ago, I got some labs. Some of the numbers were good. Some of the numbers were not as good. I go back at the end of the month to get another set of labs to see have they changed or improved or not. But there's also different indicators of our health beyond those kind of tangible physical things when it comes to our physical health. When you think about your spiritual health, there are things that can indicate the state of our inner health, the state of our soul. As humans, we all have different senses. And we use them to assess when things seem right or things seem a little bit off. You open the fridge, you take out your milk, you unscrew the cap, and you do what? You do the sniff test first. You can tell when it's off. And as we learned yesterday, that's when you put it in your garden and it keeps the bugs away. Or if you don't smell so well, you just drink it. We use our sense of smell all the time. You can see when things might seem a little off. When we have those little microquakes, I can look at the pictures of my house and I can just, it drives me nuts because I can see when they've shifted slightly. They just seem a little bit off. Sometimes you can, if you are gauging talent, like when coaches are trying to assess players that they might draft, they use the phrase like, he looks okay, but he doesn't quite pass the eye test. Something just seems a little bit off. So we use our senses to determine whether things seem right or slightly off. And sound is one of those things as well. When you're driving and you suddenly are on Highway 4 and you hear thump, 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 you know immediately I've got a tire or some other serious problem. When you press your clutch, like in our car, and it just goes thunk, like it did last year, you know instantly, oh, that's going to be like $5,000 probably. That's a bad thump. When you have a child in your home or you're caring for a baby and they start to cry, you use your ears to determine, is this an okay cry or is this a cry that I actually have to address? Is this a whiny cry or is this a I'm in pain cry? Or maybe it's something else. So we use all of these different senses all the time. Or this past week, when you cough, when I coughed, is it a wet cough? Is it a dry cough? Is it a croupy cough? It kind of gives you an indication of where things are at. Last week, I referenced C.S. Lewis, and he wrote a short thing called Reflections on the Psalms. We looked at one of his definitions, and I found another definition in that book that I thought was so interesting. He didn't really understand praise and worship early in his Christian life. He thought it was kind of, he didn't see the value. But later on, this is how he described praise. Inner health made audible. Another way of saying that might be the sound that your soul makes when things are well. Or like the song, It Is Well With My Soul. What does that sound like? You can tell when things are going well, and you can also tell when things are maybe not going as well. C.S. Lewis, he suggested that our different expressions of praise that we have, that we express in our life, they're the natural, spontaneous outflow when we have a healthy, balanced soul. I think we kind of understand this to a degree. Like you can tell when your life seems out of balance. Sometimes we talk about work-life balance. I think the same is true with our soul. We need to be in balance. In other words, praise is that sound of that inner soul health. I want to turn to the Word of God to help us kind of paint this picture and expand our understanding. We're trying to expand our toolbox of understanding different words for worship so that we're able to praise God in a greater variety of ways. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Psalm 42. The book of Psalms is divided up into different sections, and this is the starting psalm for the second section of Psalms, Psalm 42. It says, for the director of music, and it references the sons of Korah. And this was a group of people that were particularly involved with communal worship, the role of the community in offering worship to God. Let me read it for us. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, just like we sang, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And then the psalmist writes, my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy, and here's that word, praise, among the festive throng. Verse 5, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He goes on, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, that's one of the mountains, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Verse 11, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. As we've said before about the Psalms, they provide such a the whole span of human emotion. And sometimes we more naturally think of praise as this happy, joyful thing. But there are other ways of praise that we offer to God that include the other parts of life. The word that I want to highlight today is the word toda. Toda. And in that verse 4, it says shouts of joy and praise. And that's the Hebrew word that is in this particular psalm. And just like when you've sensed that something is not quite right, you know, sniffing the milk, like I said, the flip side can be true as well. Because when you hear the sound of praise that is offered from deep within your soul, something sounds right. This is part of what this word entails for us. I wrote it on the back of the bulletin so you don't have to write anything else down. The general definition of toda is to praise God with hands or arms extended. But not just as we might think, extended in both thanksgiving and confession. Both arms necessary to be balanced. Other parts of Scripture actually describe this using this phrase, worship as a living sacrifice or a sacrifice of praise. So there's some nuances that we'll pull out of this particular word this morning. Is our soul thriving and growing in health and strength? Well, one indicator is that it is when we are offering heartfelt praise to God. And you might wonder, well, how do I know if I'm offering heartfelt praise to God? Well, newsflash, God is pretty good at discerning the sounds that we make, the things that we don't even know we're doing. He knows if we're offering a fragrant, pleasing offering to him or if we're just a noisy gong. That's why we need both thanksgiving and confession so that we can be balanced in the praise we offer to the Lord. Psalm 42 is one of these psalms that points us to move toward that inner health that will so benefit us. The way forward that it offers is in verse 5 where it says, amidst all these things and amidst the soul that is downcast and disturbed and things are not quite right, it says, put your hope in God. That even in those hard moments, in fact, perhaps in those hardest moments, that is the best time, the most necessary time to put our hope in God. It says, for I will still praise, I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Continue to praise your Creator in the day and in the night. Continue to praise your Creator when you are strong and when you are weak. When things are great and when things are not going great. Those times when you're going through the dark night of the soul. Verse 4 is the verse that has that particular Toda word. And I was kind of excited because it's, you know this in the areas where maybe you do a lot of study. Maybe you had to learn some things for your job or different things for school. Well, I didn't ever really study these particular nuances. And so I was kind of geeking out a little bit this last week and this week. And it was so cool in studying this word and kind of digging into the different ways that it shows up in the Bible, that it was this specific kind of worship that the community learned to offer to the Lord, that they needed both to give thanks to God, and then they also needed to get right with God. And when they did both, that's when God was most pleased with his people. When you look at the Old Testament, especially in the book of Exodus, and God is walking with his people as they're wandering around in the desert, and what happened? What do they do all the time? Things are going well, they praise the God, and then as soon as going gets a little bit rough, they are massive complainers. They grumble all the time. That happens over and over. We've looked at some of those stories before. One of the perhaps best illustrations of this kind of double-armed praise is in Exodus 17. Visualize putting your arms up in both these ways. In Exodus 16, this is at a point in the story where the people of God are being attacked. And Moses, because he's in tune with God, makes this decision. He knows the people, actually, just before this story, they've been grumbling again. And there was the whole thing about there was the bitter waters scene. We'll talk about that another time. And God has kept providing and showing them who he is. And yet Moses says, okay, God has told us that you need to go fight. And so he sends Joshua and some of their fighting men down into the valley to fight the Amalekites. And Moses says, I'm going to stay up here on the hill with my arms raised. And that's going to be the sign. Let me read a couple of verses, verse 11 and 12. It says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Remember this visual. This will play in next week as well. I'll stop just those two verses. Imagine you're in the heat of battle. You're in the thick of it. Things are going poorly. And then you look up and you see that visual of arms raised. And what does it do? It lifts your spirits. It gives you hope. Your leader is raising his hands. And it inspires you to have that little extra oomph, whatever that might look like. An encouraging sign of hope that God's power is actually at work. Have you ever tried to do this for more than like a minute? Have you ever tried to do it then holding like a couple of even 2-pound weights? You know, and then you start to do this? Oh, no, thank you. It's inevitable that you're going to do this. When we pray for people and we ask you to extend your hands, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but sometimes I'll open my eyes a little bit and I'll see people do this, and then I see them do this. Because it's very hard to do this for even more than a minute. Imagine doing this for hours. Well, Moses wasn't able to do it. He needed the help of his community to do it. To keep those hands up. Arms held high would give you that extra resolve to go on. Spirits were high, but as soon as those arms begin to drop, doubt sets in. a sign of weakness or fatigue. And I think that we understand this to a degree. We know that God created us as functional wholes, as whole persons, body, soul, spirit, mind. There's this interchange that our physical can affect our mental and emotional and spiritual and vice versa. I see you back there doing that. See how I want to see how long you can do it for. Keep going. We'll time you. Toda, praise, hands raised in thanksgiving and confession. Why is this an important way to improve the health of our soul? Why do we need both in our lives in worship? Well, just like we've said before, because it helps keep us balanced. If we are always joyful and happy, but we never have anything to confess or forgive, well, we're not being honest with ourselves and we're not being honest before God. God wants us to be aiming for a right relationship with Him. That's when our praise is most pleasing to Him. One arm might be really strong in the moment. You might have a lot to be thankful for. Maybe the other arm is not as strong right now. Maybe you're not even aware of the things that need forgiveness. Or maybe it's the opposite for you. Yet when we look to God, that's when we find hope and help. He doesn't look at us with shame. He looks at us with love. And He wants us to come to Him. Whatever is going on in those hard moments that you're facing, when we offer both thanksgiving and confession, that's when we tap into the power of God to actually make a difference in our soul and in our life. There's power in thanksgiving. I put that on the back. The power of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is how we unlock gratitude in our souls. And we know that there's this amazing power in giving thanks because it shows up all throughout Scripture. It's an inseparable part of praising the Lord. You don't have to guess what God desires. The Bible says it over and over again. One of the best ones, and it's a song that we've sung before, comes from Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter His courts with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name." I really like how, if any of you have read Eugene Peterson's The Message, it's a paraphrase of the Bible. This is how he puts that same verse in The Message. He says, "Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank Him. Worship Him." It reminded me of our little niece, who when she got a piece of cheese, the video said, she went, "Thank you." That's the password, not abracadabra or even please, but thank you is the password that unlocks the key for us. Showing gratitude and giving thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us in a slightly different way in the New Testament. It says, "To give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I don't think we need to say a whole lot more about thankfulness. We kind of have an understanding of what giving thanks or being thankful is. We are more comfortable with that aspect of this arm of Toda. Let's look at the other arm, though, because I think that's the one that sometimes gives us trouble. Because there is power also in confession. Confession is not weakness. It is actually an act of strength. It is a sign of strength. It is a necessary part of our spiritual health. It strengthens our relationship with God. It makes us right with Him again. It also strengthens us with one another when we confess and ask forgiveness from other people. It strengthens our relationship with the community of faith. There's a reason that sometimes confession is very good for the soul, as you probably have heard before, because it's an opportunity, especially in a community of faith, to receive grace and to be prayed for and encouraged in all those different ways. I think it's something that we really don't always like to do because confession can be painful, it can be hard, but it's how God makes us right inside so that we're able to offer him our worship wholeheartedly, body, soul, spirit, mind. 1 John 1:9, I think, says it perhaps the most plainly. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In other words, he makes us right with him. Now, it's true that we might be restored and reconciled to God, but we also know that that's what we would want in our human relationships as well, and yet that's not always possible, at least this side of heaven. Sometimes there are the consequences that remain, so we do have to say that and be truthful about that. But when we confess before God, he does forgive us. It's a lot harder when it comes to people that we know and love. Confession is good for the soul, and we could probably do a whole series on it. I just want to say a couple of brief things about it. I put them on the back of the bulletin. Confession restores us to God. It repairs that breach that when we sin, it actually like tears our soul apart. This is what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they sinned and did what they weren't supposed to. What happened as soon as they realized it? And it says they heard the sound of God walking in the garden. And what did they do? They hid, as if that's even possible. Kind of like when a child tries to hide from you. You're going to find them. And what does God say? He says, where are you? That's an invitation question. That's a relationship question. Confession restores us to God. We ask God to restore us and to reconcile us back to himself. It also heals our wounded souls, just like it has done perhaps for you in the past. When we sin, it wounds us and it tears a breach in our relationship with God. It tears us apart and it works to divide us, and sin always tries to split us and drive us apart, break us. Yet that is the true power of confession, that confession brings us together. Or at least it can, if it's offered sincerely. Confession works to repair and rejoin and reunify our soul back before the presence of God and hopefully back into the presence of those around us. Confession is a sign of a soul that wants to be made healthy and whole. Confession also can lead to reconciliation, although, as I said, sometimes with our human broken relationships, this is not always possible. I think I said a couple of weeks ago that forgiveness is a solo sport. We offer forgiveness, whether it's received or not, but reconciliation is a team sport. It requires two sides to want to reconcile. It doesn't absolve us from trying and doing our best and trusting that in the power of God, God has all power and can reconcile anything, even if we can't. And that's what we aim for. When we confess, even though it's hard, the enemy actually loses his grip on us. It robs the enemy of his power over us. James 5:16 says it this way, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So yes, confession is good for the soul, but it's not only good, it's necessary if we are to be balanced and offer praise to the Lord. These are these two aspects of what this kind of praise is, this Toda praise. One arm of thanksgiving, one arm of confession. It's kind of a picture of what it looks like. It's a powerful form of worship that we can offer to God. When I saw my dad raising his hands up like this in church, no, he wasn't just trying to look like a fool. He was trying to demonstrate what praising the Lord could look like, even if I was embarrassed in the moment. Two hands raised in praise, thanking God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do or has yet to do in the future. And the other arm of confession, confessing the ways that I've faltered and failed and fallen short, both to God and to other people. And when we praise God like this, it actually opens our eyes and allows us to see Jesus even more clearly than before. We can see our Lord and Savior as he wants us to see him. And he receives all that we offer when we praise him in this way. We're made right in God's sight. When you see Jesus, you're able to declare in truth who he is. He is the Lord, mighty in power, the one who saves, the one who has been given all authority. He is the healer of all. He is the forgiver of sins. You could add every superlative that you can think of, and it would apply. He extends unmeasurable grace and mercy, way more than we ever deserve. For that, we give him thanks. And it inspires us to confess the ways in which we fall short. Jesus is living water for our soul. And when we offer our worship to him, we truly find rest for our souls. Anyone here desire a soul at rest? Or more restful? Anyone want a little less soul disturbing? I know I do. And I would hope that you would as well. So church, I encourage you to continue to put your hope in God. Extend your hands in praise. And may his power and presence lift you up so that as you gaze upon him, it might inspire you, even if you're in the depths of the dark night of the soul right now. May his power and presence strengthen you for the days and season ahead. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, we want to be healthy within. And more than anything, we want you because you are life and love and living water for our parched souls. Will you give us the courage to offer you praise in every situation? And even for those right now who are going through hard and challenging times, will you help our hearts to remember how you have been faithful, how you are faithful, and how you will be faithful in the days ahead? May that encourage us so that we may praise you in every way. Receive our worship, O Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. Church, our prayer is to the Lord is that we always and at all times trust him, that our souls would not be dismayed or disturbed, and if they are, that we put our hope in God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace now and forever. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you again.